The morning
forum
from Murraywood, Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Max City Morning Show. I'm your host, Elliot Pierre, and we're going to start today's episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you're spending with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
How's it going, you guys? It's Jake White, JJW, coming at you from Norrell Toyota in Fort McMurray. Just wanted to say hi and come on down and check the place out.
Hi, my name's Richard. I'm the service manager here at Norrell Toyota.
Hi there, I'm Adam. I'm here at Norrell Toyota. I'm a product advisor.
Hi, I'm Cass. I'm the appointment coordinator. Happy to help you.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Norrell Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. As you've seen, you met all my staff. These guys are all my family. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
And we are back. Big shout out to Norrell Toyota, our title sponsor for today's episode. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I do not introduce my guests because they can do a better job at that than myself. So, sir, can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
How's it going? I'm Mike Jones. Work for CMHA with Buffalo, Boston Communications, Tipsy Trivia, Fort McMurray, Onstage Productions. Yeah.
And we were supposed to film something for our TELUS Story Hive grant, but we don't got the time today. But I wasn't canceling.
We're all busy people.
I wanted to talk to you about your event, though, and I want to give that some major shine. Mm-hmm. Please, let's talk about Rock the Rails.
Absolutely, yeah. We were dealt a pretty brutal hand this year in terms of the weather, but did not expect it to snow in June. That definitely was not anticipated, but it still ended up being a pretty awesome event.
So. Yeah, man. People came. I was there both nights.
Yeah.
I didn't stay that late on the Saturday.
Yeah.
Because I went to a Filipino fundraiser at Rewind.
Okay.
But I was there pretty late on Friday, and it was a good time.
We had a great crowd out Friday. Saturday was crazier.
Yeah, it was.
We had about 3,000 people through the door throughout the day on Saturday.
Wow.
But that number was taken before the headliner, and we had a lot of people come like from the Oilers game just to see Authority Zero. And they went on just after 9:30, something like that.
So. Who's that indigenous group that was playing on the Friday?
The opening band? It was the hip-hop band?
Yeah.
Oh, ABO. They're awesome. You've never seen them before?
I saw them last year.
Yeah.
Like, I caught them.
Yeah.
And then, like, I was like, man, I like these guys. And then they came back again this year, and they really, like...
Yeah, we had them at our charity jam this year. They actually played a random set at Black Horse.
Yeah.
Max Noseworthy's band was playing here, and they're like, hey, you guys want to just do a set while we're on break anyways? Come out. And they did, and they're friggin' awesome. And they've been just trying to get their name out there and get the brand out there.
Yeah,
so,
they're
from Fort McKay.
Oh, no shit.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
Oh, I thought I'd link up with those guys.
Man. Yeah. Yeah, they're wicked.
Great.
They're good dudes, and they're always down to do stuff.
Yeah.
Should get Blair or Felix, get them one of them on a show, man. Felix is running for, like, council up there and stuff, too.
Okay.
Like, he's very involved on the political side as well.
Yeah.
And then he has the hip-hop, you know. He's killing it. They
one
all
of them,
are.
They, like, I don't know how they stood, but the one in the middle, not the one who was sitting down the whole time, but the one next to him.
Oh, he's in a wheelchair, yeah.
Yeah, the one in the wheelchair. Yeah, I didn't know that until afterwards. I'm like, why is that guy sitting down the whole time?
Carry him off the stage, like, he's in a wheelchair.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But their flow was unbelievable.
And then Bubbins, and she works at
It was a girl.
Yeah, she works at the radio station in Fort McKay as well.
No
so she, that's kind of her side hustle, but she's amazing.
She's amazing.
And I think what had happened, it was just Felix and Blair, which are kind of the two bigger guys, right? And they're just on the sides. That was there. It was sort of a duo act.
Yeah.
And then she would open for them a bunch. And she's a couple years younger than they are.
Okay.
And they were like, this girl is amazing. We need to get her.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I'm telling their whole story. You guys got to get the guys on to tell the story.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They recruited her. And they're like, let's get in the band. And then they got Curly as well. And now they've got a full four piece.
That's
and
they're crazy. That's
amazing. It's taken them, like, they were great before, but it's taken them to a whole nother level now.
Do they perform outside of, like, the Wood Buffalo area?
I think they've done a couple shows here and there, but they're just trying to get their roots going, and they still have, I mean, I think they all have full-time jobs and everything, and families and kids
of course,
stuff, so but I think they've definitely got the talent to do it, and they've been getting a lot of radio play and some indigenous stations throughout Canada. I think so.
Nice. And they got the crew as well, like, people showed up for them.
They're very popular. People are hyped for them.
Yeah.
They've got a big crowd going on. So.
Yeah, that was the one thing, because they, like, opened, like you said, openers on Friday.
Yeah.
And, like, all of a sudden, there was a bunch of people when we showed up, and we're like,
yeah.
oh, okay. And then when they left, like, the crowd went with them. We're like, aw.
And then there
and then
was
they ended up coming back. But.
Yeah, little. Because we have the breaks in between the bands, right? And Little Monkey Poo had a crowd, too. That was Trevor Butler's son, actually.
Oh, really?
He's amazing, yeah. And he was on first, and he had the Burger King outfit going on. So
cool.
I only caught a tiny piece of his set because I had to go pick somebody up at the airport.
Yeah.
But they were amazing, yeah.
Yeah. And then... how were the competitions? I didn't get to see any of the competitions.
You wouldn't have got to see anything on Friday because the park was soaking. It snowed that morning.
It was
so wet. It was so slippery.
Yeah.
We tried our best. We couldn't make it happen, but we got back on site. I think we were there at 9 a.m. Saturday morning, tarping the whole park again, getting the dryers out. Shout out United Rentals was there. They had HVACs that are the big ass vacuums,
for a better term.
Oh, shop vac is what I'm looking for.
Oh, yeah.
Shop vacs, hydrovacs, that kind of thing. So sucking all the, there was a bunch of big puddles up. We had tarps, we were drying it out. We had big jet heaters from Cahill Rentals out there.
Okay.
And I can't say enough good things about all our community partners at home.
Yeah.
Awesome they were in making sure that these kids would be able to have a competition. Yeah. Even though it was a little chilly, they had to wear their hoodies. There was obviously kids still walking around in t-shirt and shorts because that's what kids do in January, never mind in June, but you know.
Yeah, well, it's snowing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We were prepping when we got on site that morning. Our stage was already built, but Encore Tents was there putting up, Mike McQuilter and the guys were setting up all the tents. And we had Lee and everyone from Westward, Terry from United, putting all these generators up and trying to figure out where they're going to go. And then Cahill, Dan had all the heaters and just trying to assemble them. And it's like we're all in our winter jackets. We had to go digging out of the basement to find because it was like, what the hell is this? It's June.
Yeah. You guys are nuts, man. Like, you put on, like, a real thing.
I mean, like, postponing it just wasn't an option at that point. It was like, we'll do the best we can. But we got, like, you know, we've got bands booked that are coming in from out of town. Like, Authority Zero, Ill Scarlet, Another Joe, they all had tours built around this show. So there's no way we could have moved it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we didn't. It actually meant more, I think, that the people that came out did.
Yeah, showed up.
It wasn't just like, we'll wander down. The weather's nice. The weather's crap. We should stay inside. We should be watching the Oilers game or something like that. But everybody came out still. So.
Well, I'm such a space cadet. Like, I didn't even know the Oilers were playing. I didn't even know it was a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
So I'm out there, and I'm talking to somebody, and they're like, hey, man, you made it out tonight. Like, you didn't not looking at the game. And I'm like...
there's a game on?
Okay. What rock do I live underneath?
Yeah.
But, like, it was cool. And, like, a lot of the people that were there, like, I grew up with and went to high school with.
Yeah, like, it's like a big high school reunion for everybody. We had a ton of people come up from Calgary this year.
Really?
We booked 50 hotel rooms. So, you know, we had about 100 and some, because they're all double rooms. So it was about 100 or so musicians and athletes from out of town. And by athletes, I mean, like, the guys that are judging and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
The Rumors guys and the Hazel guys.
Yeah.
And then we had another, probably another 100 people from Edmonton and Calgary that came up that just wanted to see these bands and wanted to have a reunion. And obviously the Joey D night on Saturday. So Claudia DeLusong, who's Joey's sister, of course, lives in Calgary. So her and Kimmy and a couple other people drove up. Lisa, too. They drove up specifically
for the
event.
I saw her, and I was like, hey, how are you doing? I didn't know she moved to Calgary.
Yeah, she lives in southern Alberta, so she's definitely not in Fort McMurray anymore.
Yeah, her and Kim were out there.
Yeah, so they both drove up. It was funny. We were just hanging out with them 2 weeks before in Vegas. They were at Punk Rock Bowling.
Okay.
So, and they were going again in L.A. to see NOFX with that crew as well. So these are people that go to festivals in, like, Vegas and L.A., and they're we're going to Fort Mac. We're going to the Fort Mac Festival. So we're building something cool here, I think.
Yeah, you really are, man. And, like, it's a huge undertaking.
Not to toot our own horn too much, but
No, you should. Like, the amount of tents, the gear, the stage, because me and Tanner throw our things, right? And I'm looking around, I'm like, nope, I never want to get this complicated.
Yeah, the logistics,
like,
the fencing for AGLC, you got to fence the whole area. Shout out to Vista Ridge, though. So much easier. Before, the rules were, and it wasn't even, Vista Ridge couldn't even help us then, because the rules were you needed 8 feet fencing.
Yeah.
And I've always been a believer when it comes to, like, beer gardens and stuff, and it's like, oh, yeah, we have people act out all the time. It's like, yeah, because you're caging them in like animals. You cage people like animals, you treat people like animals, they're going to act like animals.
Right.
So that was the old rules, and we had to get, it was Sunbelt Rentals were always great for us for years, we'd have to lug it all out in these giant construction fences and set them up and secure them, and oh, my God, so many fingers lost and like fingernails and everything just from lugging that stuff out, and it was not comfortable, not fun.
Yeah.
And then the rules relaxed last year, so we were able to get a stadium license thanks to Canadian Brew House for that. And then Vista Ridge, their snow fencing is just, it's so much easier. But
yeah,
we couldn't get that without our man, Tyrone Palmer, is the absolute MVP of Rock the Rails.
Okay.
He just gets his buddies out, a couple of his friends out,
yeah,
and he just goes and builds this, gets an entire red fencing everywhere, gets the hammer, boop, boop, boop,
yeah,
knocks it in the ground, and
yeah,
it's just a seamless process.
Yeah, so, man, that's awesome.
Without a volunteer like Tyrone, shirt off your back kind of guy,
yeah,
he's nonstop.
Yeah.
You know, anytime we need something, he's like, I'll lug that tent over, man. He's
yeah,
he's such a yeah, shirt off your back kind of guy.
That's awesome. And then, like, with all these bands, like, how do you get in contact with them? Are you going through their agents, managers? Like,
yeah, for certain ones, yeah. I think, like, we looked at a couple of headliners, and Authority Zero came up as an option, and we tracked down their headliner, and they were actually already building a couple of Canadian dates as it was.
Yeah.
So they had already had an Edmonton show booked and everything, and it was, like, the week after our festival, so it wouldn't have worked out,
yeah,
but they're like, you know what, we can make this work. We'll add in some Red Deer and High Level and places they've never been in a long time. So
yeah, yeah, yeah,
that worked out really well for us. And hopefully for those smaller towns, too, they got some extra shows.
Yeah.
And a couple of other guys I'm friends with on Facebook, like Suave from El Scarlet. So we had talked about getting them up last year but for Friday night, but it just, the budget wasn't there. So we were able to work it out this year.
Yeah.
And our buddy JFK down in Edmonton built a routing around it. So they did a couple of underplays, they call them,
yeah,
in like smaller venues that they would normally not be able to play in.
Right.
Because it's too big, right?
Yeah.
So they were able to do those. And then, yeah, and then, you know, another Joe had reached out and they wanted to play and they hadn't been up here since 1998. And then a few friends of Joey, obviously, we got, you know, Fire Next Time comes every year. We try to get them up. And then the big one was, this year was the first year we ever did. We had so many people asking to play. We got to make this fair. So we put in an artist submission portal. And this is the first time we've ever done that. And we got bands. We had over 50 bands apply, a couple from Fort McMurray. I mean, most of the ones from Fort McMurray, we'd already kind of approached. Like, yeah, you're playing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we had bands from Vancouver. We had bands from Winnipeg. I think there's one band from Ontario.
Yeah.
So it was basically all across Canada, we had bands applying. And I believe of those bands, there was three that were selected from that specifically. And two of them drove up, both from Vancouver. So the Maroons and Die Job, who were absolutely amazing. We felt like that album was so good. I listened to that album and I'm like, these guys want to play our festival? Okay,
yeah,
awesome. Let's do it.
Yeah, that's sick, man. It's so cool to see like that grow,
mm-hmm,
because that's like to me a representation of like the work that you put in for everything else,
right,
from like the trivia going bar to bar. Like you build a foundation and then all of a sudden when you throw your thing,
yeah,
people are like,
we get friends that'll come out and volunteer and run the merch table, even though I know that's not their style of music.
That's right.
But I think for everyone that is their style of music, yeah, this is their Christmas.
Yeah,
you know, this is their biggest weekend of the year for them. So we take that job seriously, and we want to make sure they have a blast.
It's not my kind of music at all.
Yeah.
Like,
but it's the atmosphere, right? And it goes so well. Like, you know, you couldn't have a skateboard contest and God bless country music, but you couldn't have like a country artist playing a skateboard festival. It just doesn't make sense.
I love it. It's one of it's an event that I make sure every year I go to.
Yeah.
It's like, that is equivalent to me as the Banff Mountain Film Festival here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one
that's
of those
another one of my favorites
have to
too,
go
yeah.
to.
You have to go. You
and
can't
like,
miss it.
That the fact that you like pull it off, even like in the weather that it was, I was like,
yeah,
it just goes to show how many people in this community respect what you do, man.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, because it's a cool, cool thing. So, yeah, like I was saying, when me and Tanner were looking over at like the facilities and the production and everything, I was just like, this man had to work to make this happen.
I mean, we've got a committee that's the last 2 years, and they've helped me out in the past as well, but it's myself, Michelle Landseidel, Darren Ehler, Dan Lipton, and then we added in Katie Cooper as well this year from Earls and Black Dress Events. So they deserve equally as much credit for helping that the festival to happen. They're there on site all the time. Darren's back and forth between there and the banquet because he's running the bands there as well.
Right.
And then the logistics, it's like it's so much work that goes into it and so much preparation. And Michelle especially is keeping it grounded and like doing all the the harder stuff, like the insurance and the registrations and how the liabilities work for the riders so we don't get sued and, you know, and making sure that all the logistics. And then Dan, of course, is big on the, not only did he come through huge yet again, last year it was because we needed air conditioning and this year it was because we needed heat.
Right.
But with Cahill and getting us heat and being able to heat out the beer gardens and the stage and the hospitality tent so we could have everything working. And then having, but he's also, he was a big skateboarder growing up. So he's in charge of a lot of the competitions.
Right.
And we've gone from just asking a couple of our buddies that used to ride back in the day, be like, hey, you want to judge? And they're like, yeah, but we don't know how to do it legit. Yeah. We'll just be like, that kid was awesome. He's the best.
Yeah.
So now we get these guys where we actually get rumors, skateboards. And this is our first year officially. We're accredited Alberta Action Sports.
Okay.
So all of our results get tabulated with theirs, and people, our kids can go to Edmonton, Calgary, Red Deer, wherever, and do competitions and build up their rankings and stuff. So
cool.
So it's an officially legit judging process.
That's
now.
That's awesome, man. Well, listen, unfortunately, Tanner tapped his watch. That means we're out of time. But before I cut you loose, you get a shameless shout-out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights.
Yeah, I mean, Rock the Rails, we're back again next year. I think you said June 5th and 6th, 2025. We've already got it booked. We're coming back no matter what. We're going to make it happen. Picking the same weekend. Snow was an anomaly.
Yeah.
It's not happening again. We'll put in all of our good karma until then.
Yeah.
And then personally, I got my Fort McMurray Food Festival July 19th, 26th. 27th, I should say, and then September 5th and 6th, First Responders Golf Tournament comes back for CMHA. If you want to be a part of that, you want to sponsor, you want to be on a team, you want to golf, give me a shout out. You know how to get a hold of me.
There we go. Awesome. Well, Fort McMurray with Buffalo, the rest of the world, that's been another episode of the Mac City Morning Show. From the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for tuning in. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Neural Toyota, as well as Kerry from Patchouli Rose and the beautiful people at Coldwell Banker.
And a big
go on,
and a big shout out to Black Horse Pub for hosting us today.
Got
to go. Thanks, Lance.
Yeah.
Thanks, T.